Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Duration, Woodscapes, and Superdeck products May 1st through the 11th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. By the way, we made it an hour into the show. I've not congratulated Michelle Knezovic on the nice effort her Pittsburgh Steelers had yesterday. They kind of, sort of, for a little bit, hung in there with the Packers and then didn't.
Let's talk about the Kentucky Wildcats instead. How about that, guys?
I was just going to say, nice win? Well, who cares about the Steelers? You got the catter day of all catter days.
Listen, Ben Roethlisberger, he just looks old out there. It's fine. I didn't expect us to win, but, you know, that Kentucky football team.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wearing my Kentucky shirt this morning. It's a great day. It's a great day to be alive.
Big catter day on Saturday.
I love it.
Yeah, Joe Rexroad, Ben Roethlisberger, he's done. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
Looking good.
You know, honestly, I was a little bit surprised. I thought maybe last year would be it for him. But yeah, they're in a bind there. I mean, what do you do?
Josh Dobbs still hanging around, man.
Yeah. give him a look, man.
Maybe so.
They're like a 6-11, 7-10 kind of team, which is just, you know, very, very surprising to ever see that happen.
Yeah, it's time. It's time, Ben Roethlisberger.
It is, and I think everybody in Pittsburgh is starting to come to that realization. Right now, reacting, taking your thoughts to a 27-24 loss to the New York Jets by the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Drew texting in, you know, it hit me yesterday. Could we have taken the money we're paying Julio and given that to Corey Davis? A guy that blocked would have been available yesterday and was all in for the Titans. I love Julio, but in the long run, maybe we should have held on to Corey Davis. Corey Davis looked awfully good yesterday, Joe Rexroad. 4 receptions, 111 yards. Could have had a couple more plays as well. There was one play in particular, and I think it was in the third quarter. I think the drive after he made his touchdown catch where – Zach Wilson is kind of running for his life, and he ends up pulling the ball down and getting like a 4-yard gain or whatever. But they showed the replay, and Corey Davis is running down the middle of the field, and there's not a Titan within 15 yards of him. It was a big day for Corey Davis yesterday.
Well, I'm surprised it took an hour to get to the Corey is better than Julio discussion. Look, good for Corey Davis. I would not have paid him either. I will say that if Julio Jones can't get that hamstring healthy and that's, you know, what keeps him out for long periods of time, a year after a hamstring cost him half of last season, well, that's another big John Robinson move that's going to look rough, you know, just like last year's move, just like we're sitting here now with Bud Dupree. We haven't talked about that, but
yep. You
know, Bud Dupree now, 2 straight games, not out there at all. He comes out in the opening week and basically like plays the whole game after having teared his ACL on December 2nd. So he's at the 10-month mark right now. And now the knee is not responding. And it's a big concern. So there's a lot of – I mean, the list here, trying to go through this stuff yesterday as I'm writing everything, I'm like, gosh, I don't even have room to write all the different things that are going wrong right now and could be worse. Now, they can be better too, but – You can see the path to this being a disaster.
JD texts again. The offensive line couldn't block. Our defensive backs were abysmal, and Bowen called a terrible game. Jackrabbit looks like this year's Jonathan Joseph. They got torched by an offense that averaged 6 points a game before yesterday. Shane Bowen has to go. He doesn't appear to be able to get the players ready or command their best performance any week. So, JD, some strong words there on the Titans defense. And, Joe, it was interesting. The first half, outside of one drive, Titans defense played pretty well and looked like they were on their way to just completely shutting down the Jets, Zach Wilson, and that offense. All of a sudden, in the second half, and specifically the fourth quarter, the Jets just come alive offensively, and the Titans run around, couldn't cover anybody in the secondary. You couldn't get home on Zach Wilson, and it was a bad combination chain of events that led to an explosive fourth quarter there for that Jets offense.
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, both defenses late, and this happens a lot in football. I mean, the third quarter, the defense were still kind of controlling the game, and it was a terribly boring game. Both offenses, you know, found life in the fourth quarter, but how do you let the Jets offense find life like that? Some of it is, I think that honestly, Zach Wilson is more comfortable being chased and weaving around and then throwing while flying out of bounds, and he is just taking a five-step drop and throwing a slant. You know, like I don't know what kind of quarterback he's going to be. He's got a lot to work on, but he is going to make big plays on broken plays. And they got the Titans a couple times on stuff like that where you kind of do the scramble drill and, okay, take that route upfield. You take your route toward me. Let's make a play as he's running around. So, like, you can see the talent, the ability to throw on the run, and he made some big-time plays. But I think you're right. One, the pass rush kind of fell off. And I thought early it was good, and then it kind of fell off. Now, Landry was a big factor early that just they didn't really have a lot going on to bother him later in the game. Now, obviously, they get that pick, too, you know, with Fulton. With Corey Davis fell on that play, but Fulton had that play absolutely pegged. I don't know how it turns out if Davis doesn't fall. It's those two fighting for the ball. But Fulton was leading him on his route. Like, he, like, knew what he was doing on that play, or so it seemed. He gets the pick. You know, and then again, I know we're talking defense, but you go right back to, you know, you got a chance right there, 6-0 to make it, like 13-0, and really kind of just put your foot on him. And instead, Tannehill gets sacked, 36-yard field goal for Bullock. So the offense betrayed the defense a lot. But I agree in terms of the secondary not playing well. The Jonathan Joseph thing is way extreme on Jenkins, but he hasn't been very good so far. And, you know, they just – I mean, it's fine to put it on Bowen. He's the D coordinator. I think I see more personnel limitations than anything out there. But, hey, it's on him to try to figure this out. And I thought that there was a little bit – I thought that defense was coming around. They'd played six pretty good quarters. And I guess you could say this made it about seven, maybe 7.5.
Yep.
And then it kind of fell apart again against the Jets.
Devin from Dover texting in. The corner I don't want to hear anything more about being good is Fulton. Absolutely terrible, can't tackle, and got beat like a drum. Look, I don't know if I'm willing to go that far. you know, Fulton had the interception yesterday. And the thing is, like, if Zach Wilson would have thrown the ball accurately on another play, Fulton would have had two because he absolutely jumped a route. And had that ball been anywhere near the receiver that Wilson was throwing the ball to, that would have been two for Fulton. But he did have some miscues in coverage later in that game. But look, I mean, that's going to happen as a defensive back. You're not going to be perfect every time in coverage. Christian Fulton, to me, Joe, is pretty far down the list in terms of issues this team has at the moment.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, I'll find you whatever elite all-time corner you want to, we can find a big highlight reel of that DB getting burned. And I'm not saying Fulton's great, but he's good. He's a good player. He had some rough moments in the second half yesterday, too. You're riding with him. You feel good about him. But it's also – I'm really curious – and, you know, Vrabel was asked about this, but he didn't really say much. But I'm really curious why Fulton moves inside this game.
Yep.
I mean, I think the answer is probably as simple as, well, Chris Jackson was not available, and right now they don't trust Elijah Molden. But, you know, you got Breann Borders out there, and that's the guy who gets beat by Davis on one of those scramble drill plays I'm talking about. Corey Davis turns his route back up, and he beats him. You know, it's not like Corey Davis is a, you know, like a 4-3 guy either. So, you know, Borders out there, they obviously trust him on the outside more than they trust a Molden on the inside. But it's just, you know, it's easy to second guess stuff like that. But I think it's easy to second guess just about anything with this team. I would not second guess Christian Fulton as a good corner. He's still done a lot more good than bad this year.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Hockey is back in Smashville, and don't miss out on the 6 home games scheduled during the month of October. The opponents include the Kraken, the Carolina Hurricanes, the New York Islanders, the Kings, the Sharks, the Rangers, all on the table for the Predators. So make sure you get on the action and check that out. The best way to guarantee a spot in Smashville for all the best games is by becoming a season ticket citizen, but single game tickets are a flexible option as well. And remember, Bridgestone Arena is requiring all guests show proof of their full COVID vaccination or a negative test within 72 hours of an event. So make sure you download the Clear Health app to make entry into Bridgestone Arena much easier. For more information, go to bridgestonearena.com/clear. And for more information on Predators tickets, go to nashvillepredators.com/tickets. Once again, that's nashvillepredators.com/tickets. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. Current deals include half off of gift cards for Retro Snow, Fat Cat Slims, Central Barbecue, Joyland in East Nashville, and Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic are with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Our friend Jordan text again on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Colts got their first win of the season yesterday. Jordan, the resident Colts fan here on Robbie and Rexroad. And that's the other part of this that stings, Joe, is you've got the Jets, man. Like, this should be a team that you win, that you absolutely chalk up in the win column. And even with the Colts win yesterday against Miami, you just don't really think about it that much. But now the Colts have made up a game on you with the Jets. That's a really tough pill to swallow yesterday if you're a Titans fan. You beat Indy, and then you turn around the next week and lose to the Jets and squander that lead that you had built in the division. And Joe's talking on mute for the first time. I knew we'd get one today. There we go.
Darn it all. Darn it all. Yeah. As I said when I was muted, yeah. That's what you missed.
Thank you.
That's a big lost opportunity. And look, it's a good win for the Colts. Go down there, and Wentz is still kind of, from what I can tell, still kind of hobbling around, but made enough plays. And now you got a one-game lead. And the Colts, of course, have had this brutal schedule early. And, well, your brutal schedule is coming. Not that it's been easy. I mean, look, the Cardinals, boy, was I impressed with them into L.A. and taking it to the Rams. The Seahawks, by the way, going to San Fran and take it to them. That division's incredible. So, you know, you got punked by one of the best teams in the league, I guess.
Yeah, maybe the best team in the league.
Maybe. I don't know. But you beat a good Seattle team on the road. That's a very good win. And you beat the Colts. That's a very good win, too. And this one is just one you can't have. You can't have it with this schedule getting to where it's about to get. But there's still a huge swing coming up. And I know we have all week to talk about this game coming up. But I mean, this is a must win, I would say. Absolutely. It's a can't lose. The Jets game was a can't lose. Rather than a must win, I call them can't loses. Can't lose. Well, they lost.
Yeah.
Can't lose this one either. You know, if you somehow lose to the Jags Sunday, boy. How quickly could this go bad? Pretty quickly. But you win that game and you're 3-2 on that stretch, and I'm sure that means that you've probably figured a few things out. Here's another thing that we haven't talked about, and I really don't know the answer, but were some guys who didn't play yesterday not on the field because it was the Jets? And, you know, because it's sort of the feeling was, got to have whoever it is. Later, we can get through this week without him and him and him and him. I don't know. I'd be willing to bet, though, that there's probably a name or two of someone who, if this was, you know, a game for the division title against a really good team, probably would have given it a go.
Yeah, like, see, I'm glad you said that part at the end because that doesn't bother me. Like, I think that happens throughout the year where, you know, if this was a week 17 or I guess, you know, in this case, a week 18 game where the division and a playoff spot's on the line, I think a lot of injuries that would normally keep you out, players are trying to play through and play against. So I agree. I imagine if this was later in the season, maybe some of these guys can go. But if you're just holding them out because it's the Jets, I think this is a pretty good example. If you're a Titans fan, if you're a Titans coach, if you're a Titans player, it's the NFL, man. And teams can sneak up and beat you. We talked about that all week, and you know we even said it Friday. It kind of feels like everybody is looking right past the Jets and looking ahead to the other side of the Jags for the Titans. And that just goes to show in this league, man, can't do that because the Jets, any given Sunday, they'll sneak up and beat you. And, man, was that something to watch yesterday. I still can't get over how aesthetically displeasing that football game was to watch yesterday. I got to the end of it, and loss aside, because I knew today's show was going to be, quite frankly, pretty easy to do just based on the reaction that that Titans game is going to get. But, God, was that a horrible football game to watch yesterday. It was just abysmal.
Yeah, it really was. It was an all-timer. I think at one point, like in the third quarter, I tweeted gross. That's what it was. It was nasty. Just a real grinder. Again, like, you know, the offenses took advantage of the tired defenses in the fourth, so it kind of got interesting. Like you said, I mean, you got Henry. It's 10-9 Jets. You know, they come down and they take the lead. And then it's just like Henry 18, Henry with 9, Henry with 22, Henry touchdown. You know, and it's like, whoa, it's totally okay. So now, after all that stuff, just an awful third quarter. Like the third quarter in particular was like some of the worst football I've ever seen.
Just awful.
Boom, you get Pruitt. You got a nice 2-point play, 17-10. That to me is the turning point of the game. That next possession. Like, there's just no excuse against that awful offense and awful team for the Titans defense to then come right out and give it back to them. And this is where, you know, Christian Fulton got beat a couple times. I mean, you got the Dane Cruikshank PI when you don't need to hit him. You go make a play on the ball. Easy to say from the press box, but, you know, you got to be more aware than that to be a starting safety in the NFL. Then you mentioned the Fulton almost pick. Then you got Zach Wilson fumbling the ball, having the time. And this is where really a very disappointing with the Titans, the pass rush and how it just went away. You know, the Jets were teeing off on Tannehill all day long. The Titans early were all over the Jets. And in the second half, I'm sure it's fatigue. You know, because you're playing the same guys every snap, but no pass rush. He fumbles it, is able to just pick it up and throw it out to Crowder, who beats Fulton, and then Crowder beats Fulton again, and it's a touchdown, and boom, it's 17 all. It was 104 seconds, you know, a minute 44, and you let them tie it up. That to me was, there's where you again have a chance to just, okay, go away, Jets, you're done, thank you. And instead, you just come out and just have a terrible defensive possession.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Josh from Ashland City. Josh, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Hey, Josh.
I just wanted to say this. So, you know, recapping on the game, we could all point fingers and blame a bunch of different things, but I keep referring back to all day Friday. I kept hearing Jared say, it's the NFL, referring to what the GM used to always say. It's the NFL. Every team comes out. When the Titans always have this problem. The teams that they're supposed to dominate, blow out, have fun, you know, doing what they do, they always find a way to lose the game. And as far as Norris Jenkins, Now everybody understands why New Orleans didn't want him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was not a good day for Janoris Jenkins yesterday. Appreciate the call, Josh. Look,
he hasn't been very good.
He's not been very good. Now, I also, you know, there have been times where the Titans play against the Lions and they're expected to win, or the Colts the other week when the Colts are banged up and expected to win, and the Titans go out and they win. So this doesn't happen every time. But I will say, you mentioned on Friday maybe some Bengals vibes that you were getting heading into this game. It was a little Cincinnati-esque yesterday in that second half of receivers just running free, the Titans not even approaching the quarterback, and all of a sudden a game that you should be able to just chalk up in the win column, not being able to do so. And as Josh pointed out, that's the NFL.
Well, no doubt. I mean, that's absolutely true. Again, it's the NFL. It's just not like college football where you just know the outcome. It's just a matter of what the score is. But there's also games where, like, I don't know, the Bills beat the Texans 40-0. You know, I mean, you do have those games and that can get out of hand. You have the Ravens going to Denver and beating the absolute fraudulent Broncos 23-7. You know, the Cowboys put it on the Panthers yesterday. I mean, you know, look, I think yesterday, I think the Titans finish a couple of those early drives with touchdowns, and it's, you know, 17-0 instead of 9-0.
Yeah,
this game could have gone that way. And that's what happens sometimes, is especially a team that's so fragile and so used to losing. You know, you have them at some point kind of teetering, and then it's a question of, do you actually make the plays and finish them or not? You know, do you send it one way or the other? And then the Titans just bumbled around and let them stay in the game. So. I agree, it's the NFL, but that's a bad NFL team. They're going to win like 3-4 games this year.
Corey texting in, good morning, guys. Just tuning in, and I hope everyone's blood pressure is back to normal. I don't know if it's back to normal yet.
I had a lot of sodium in Manhattan, so mine's probably not great.
We need 24 hours to mourn the loss.
Yeah, I would say so. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win Preds tickets during the month of October. Just post a picture of your radio dial set to 102.5 The Game on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Tag The Game and use hashtag Ticket Dash to be instantly qualified to win. Show us your dash, brought to you by Social Furniture. Shop local, shop social. We'll be right back. Switch gears. Talk about a big win for the Vols over the weekend and a dramatic win for Vanderbilt as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And Joe Rex Road, this song was heard a lot on Saturday. Rocky Top, often being played in Missouri. The Vols hang up 62 against Missouri. Now, I got to say, I said last week this was a must-win game for Josh Heupel. I expected Tennessee to win this game. I thought they should win this game. I did not see 62-24 coming in this one, including Joe Rexrode. 458 yards on the ground for the Vols in this game. They were dominant from start to finish, and they totally destroyed the Missouri Tigers on Saturday. Now, I don't know if this says more about Tennessee or more about Missouri. It probably says a little bit about both. And by the way, Missouri has fired their defensive line coach after that game on Saturday, after Tennessee put up 458 on the ground. But man, what an impressive performance from Josh Heupel and company. They did anything they wanted to do offensively on Saturday, and it didn't matter if it was through the air or on the ground. They totally kicked Missouri's butt on Saturday on the road.
No, they did. And a few things that I take away that I feel good about. One, I mean, Hendon Hooker is your quarterback.
Yep.
I think that's just how it is. Whatever that might mean with Joe Milton, I don't know. But right now, he's playing winning football. I thought, you know, when the game was not a laugher and it was apparent that Tennessee could just do whatever it wanted, he made some really big-time throws. And his contribution to the run game is a very nice addition. He's the guy. Two, the Vols are going to be bowl eligible. I don't know if they're going to go to a bowl game. I don't know yet about self-sanctioning. That's, you know, it's unclear at this point. But if they're going to let this team, you know, if this team is going to be allowed to play in a game, they're going to get to a bowl game. That was the win to me, because I'm sorry, they're going to beat the crap out of South Carolina. Put it down right now. Call my shot. They're going to win handily. Okay. They're going to win handily Saturday. They're going to beat Vanderbilt and South Alabama. So that's six. So that's a big, significant part of this win. And, yeah, I do think that a fair amount of this game is about Missouri as well as Tennessee. I mean, it looked like they got lined up for plays like 8% of the game. Yeah. Like at least one player before every play was, like, out of position or scrambling around. Like, dude, you guys run tempo too. You know they run tempo. What are you doing? But even when they were lined up, man, did they get mashed. And that's pretty impressive to me. These backs are so good. It's too bad that, Jabari Small got hurt, because both of those guys would have had huge numbers. And look, you're seeing Velus Jones out there. You're seeing Tyon Evans, and they've got weapons. I mean, they've got an offense that, like, I watch Ole Miss too, and I know it's looking ahead and all that stuff, but I feel like we might have a competitive game with a lot of points when Ole Miss and Tennessee face each other.
Look, Tyon Evans, I mean, you said it the other day, he's a really good running back. 15 carries, 156 yards, including the 92-yard scamper that he had to the end zone where he basically was just untouched for 92 yards. It was impressive how not in the picture Missouri was on that play. Look, offensively, that's the headline from the other day, and you put up 62 points in an SEC game. That's the first time since 2016 against Missouri that Tennessee was able to do that in an SEC game. Joe, I was pretty impressed by the defense and that side of the ball. I mean, Bazelak ends up with 322 yards, so it looks like he had a big day throwing the ball. He really didn't. I mean, a lot of those yards came in garbage time. He threw two picks on the day. I thought Tennessee defensively, number one, did a really good job of corralling the passing game that Missouri wanted to put together. They didn't let Missouri run the ball hardly at all. I mean, Missouri averaged 2.5 a carry in this game. I thought a really impressive performance from Tim Banks and that crew defensively. And speaking of Banks, that was the best game I've ever seen Jeremy Banks play in my entire life at middle linebacker.
Yes, he was all over the place. He was, man. This is a significantly less talented and at least somewhat better coached defense than last year.
Yeah.
Which is such an indictment of, you know, the defensive mastermind that the whiteboard blasting genius that is Jeremy Pruitt. But I really like what Tim Banks has done with these guys. They have limitations, and we're going to see them. Like, there are weeks ahead. It's not going to be pretty, but they fight and they make plays. They seem to know what they're doing, what they're looking at. They seem to have the opponent scouted well. And they're fun to watch too. They're not as fun to watch as the offense, but it's fun to see a team play with that kind of energy and conviction, even when it's making some mistakes.
And then on the West End, on the other side of town over here, I was in the press conference room after the Predators' big 6-1 preseason win against Tampa Bay on Saturday night. And I'm watching the end of Vanderbilt and UConn, and UConn taking the old, we're going to call, three consecutive timeouts approach to ice the kicker at the end of the game. And it doesn't work. Vandy gets it done 30-28, a last-second field goal to get a big win against UConn. And Joe Rexford, I know you were heavily watching that game out in New York. You and George Walker and Gentry Estes in a bar in New York.
Yeah, and my buddy Mike Hudson, who took the nice picture of us at McSorley's, who a place that was, by the way, opened in 1854, and I don't think has been changed at all since 1854. Like, it's the bar from the movie Gangs of New York. Like, I'm not kidding you that there's stuff on the walls from, like, 1890. Like, it's been on the wall since. It's incredible. They have two beers. They have their light beer. They have their dark beer. They bring you two, and that's all. That's it. Now, they did not have TVs, but we were watching our phone. We actually did find a place also later to watch the second half that actually had it on television. And, man, it was just as glorious as you would hope that Vandy UConn would be.
Yeah, buddy.
On a Saturday night. Like, when UConn gets that fourth down, that wacky play, and it's just like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding? And then, you know, like the next play, right, is the QB draw. He just goes up the middle, and you're like, oh, my goodness. But hey, man, Ken Seals, that offense, Chris Pierce, those guys got the job done in the clutch. I mean, you gotta win every game you can win. If you're Vanderbilt, that may be it. And you gotta celebrate those victories, you know, because there's rough Saturdays ahead, including this one at Florida.
Yep.
Not gonna be pretty. But you gotta give him some credit for, you know, for, and Ken Seals, that is a big deal for him. It hasn't been perfect, and he's made, you know, some mistakes, and it's been up and down, but that's a big deal for him to, in that moment, be poised and make the plays to set up. And then how about the Vandy – what the heck is that little car called?
Oh, yeah. Did you see the video that Simon Gibbs put up on Twitter of the Vandy flag guy?
That's what I'm talking about.
It just goes running across with the flag. It was awesome.
Like he's icing his own kicker. Woo-hoo! Driving
touchdown!
Around.
Touchdown! Yeah!
Like, what
he doesn't get to do
right
it
now?
Very often, so That's he true. Figured he would.
It's a big moment.
Yeah, don't do it when you're about to try to kick a game-winning field goal. That was amazing, man.
Oh, man. And then, you know, Alabama pummels Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin has this interview before the game about getting your popcorn ready, and that didn't go well for Ole Miss in that game. Georgia absolutely annihilates Arkansas. So, look, there were a lot of great stories in college football this weekend. And we talked about Kentucky and Florida. But Alabama and Georgia, once again, showing they seem to be the class of college football at the moment.
They do. And so I guess from the perspective of, like, last week we're all, oh, my gosh, it's so wide open. It looks less wide open. But it's still a fun year. And, look, the college football nation should be rejoicing right now, yes. along with Ryan Porth,
yes.
that Cincinnati went in there and took care of their business. Look, I don't think – like Cincinnati against an Alabama or a Georgia, I don't like their chances this year. We'll see, okay? I think we'll see. I think we've got a real chance to see.
Desmond Ridder.
But I promise you, Notre Dame – one, was going to just win out if they won Saturday. And then two, they're just going to get absolutely destroyed in a terrible play. No one wants that. Go away, Notre Dame. Go away. I hope Porth had an awesome Saturday in Notre Dame Stadium in the shadow of Touchdown Jesus. And it was impressive. Yeah. I mean, Cincinnati, again, Notre Dame's not very good. But Cincinnati, to go in there with that pressure as the higher-ranked team favored in that stadium and handle it, I was impressed. Desmond Ridder, he's a Heisman candidate.
Yeah, big win for the Bearcats on Saturday against Notre Dame. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Willie from Murfreesboro. Willie, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just something very quick I saw. On the Tennessee-Missouri game, the Missouri fans late in the game, I saw this sign pop up. I might have saw it on Twitter. We want Vandy.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. Hey, and this goes to Stillman for this afternoon. I just can't wait to hear how he's going to badmouth the Vols since he's a hater. He'll probably say something like, "What? Can you believe Heupel? Can you believe him? He deferred on the coin toss." So, hey, have a great day. Have a great week, guys. See
you. Appreciate you, Willie.
Thanks.
I did
Willie.
See the "We Want Vandy" sign that they put on the whiteboard at the end of the game. Tough day to be a Missouri fan on Saturday.
Yeah, my goodness, Drinkwitz, what's going on, man? What? I mean, look, Barry Odom. Yeah, I mean, you know, I understand things weren't going that well, but gosh, they played some D.
Look, I hope Tennessee fans took some time to enjoy that on Saturday. They've been on the other side of a few of those, and I get it. It's Missouri. They're not a very good football team. But anytime you play an SEC football game like that, my advice for Tennessee fans is just to enjoy that a little bit and relish it based on the way the last 12 years have gone.
Totally agree. And enjoy this week when you thump South Carolina. And please forget I said that if you somehow screwed up.
When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We do this every Monday morning at 7:45. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Every Monday morning at 7:45, Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week being led back in by a little wagon wheel by Darius Rucker this week. By the way, Joe, at the preseason game for the Predators on Saturday night, they did a crowd sing-along to Wagon Wheel. So, had a lot of people in the building jamming out to this song.
Okay.
Thank you for your thoughts. Okay.
It's a song. It's fine.
So you're not going to sing along, Joe?
I don't know the words, but it's a song.
You hang around fine. Broadway enough, you'll figure out the words, either voluntarily or involuntarily. That's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Joe Rexroad, your rant of the week is what?
Well, let's go back to the Titans. I'm pleasantly surprised this hasn't come up yet today. So, I mean, really, I'm quite surprised. So I don't need to, scream and anger my neighbors here in this Midtown Manhattan courtyard. I'm calmed down. For the most part, this is sort of one of those out there things. But it does come up a fair amount. So let's just go through this. I saw a lot of this on Twitter after the game. Look, it's inevitable when a team plays poorly, but it's also pretty much a dumb way to look at things. Position coaches in the NFL, okay? Like, inevitably, you'll have a bad one here or there. Someone who, like, shows up late, like, the players don't like him. He spits too much chewing tobacco during practice, you know, whatever it may be. Like, from time to time, you have a position coach, you know, it's like, well, this guy isn't working out. You have to move on. From time to time, you have a really, really impressive one who moves up. And, you know, Arthur Smith is a tight ends coach 3 years ago, and now he's a head coach in the NFL. From time to time, you also have a position coach who basically must be sacrificed. That's pretty much what happened in 2016. The Titans gave up a punt return for a TD in Houston. Not the place you want to do that, to lose the game.
No. Nope.
The next day, Mike Mularkey decides to fire his longtime friend and special teams coach Bobby April. Just decided it was time. These things happen sometimes. But here's the thing with yesterday and at other times too. It's been like Craig Aukerman. Like, the name of interest from yesterday is not Keith Carter. He's not the name of interest. You know what he does? He teaches the stuff that he's told to teach from the people above him on the coaching staff. They know exactly. Like, Mike Vrabel knows what every position coach on this team does. He goes to the rooms. He goes to the drills. He know that they have a plan. Okay, so the position coaches carry out that plan, and they have some ownership. They are, as Vrabel says, the head coach of the position group. But like, no one's going rogue here, okay, and causing Taylor Lewan to suck all of a sudden. All right, like he does his job, and if individuals stink, and on a given unit, well, that's on John Robinson, right? If the Titans are screwing this up schematically, they're not handling blitzes, the protections are bad, whatever it is, well, that's on the offensive coordinator, and by extension, it's on Mike Vrabel. So be mad at John Robinson, be mad at Mike Vrabel, be mad at the coordinators. The position coaches are worker bees who are doing what they're supposed to be doing with the players. I don't understand why people, like, you have this terrible, and I was like, oh, Keith Carter. Think about the Keith Carter path here. Like, 2 years ago, yeah. I mean, you got to fire him. He's the worst offensive line coach of the league. I mean, Jared was all over it. Fire Keith Carter. Then for about a year and a half, is Keith Carter one of the best position coaches in the NFL? Look at this offensive line. And now it's back to Keith Carter sucks. I mean, he's a position coach. They have limitations in their impact on this stuff. It is above them that the problems are apparent, and that's where the energy should be focused.
Nicely done. I like that. There was a lot of Keith Carter buzz. We've gotten a couple of them on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com today.
Oh, okay, I missed those.
Talking about Keith Carter and how he's to blame for what's going on. Now, to your point,
they know what they're doing.
My response to that is, okay, so to your point, the career path right now for Keith Carter, a couple years ago, everybody wanted to fire him. Then all of a sudden, he was the greatest offensive line coach of all time, and now people want to fire him again. This just goes back to there's only so much coaching can do. Now, to your point about Vrabel and Robinson, I totally agree. And I will say, several times I had the thought yesterday, it'd be nice to have a first-round pick on the field or a second-round pick on the field out there helping out when Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are not available. But here we are. Caleb Farley's not playing. Dylan Raidunce is not a factor. And I just think back to the Isaiah Wilson pick So far, you've gotten nothing out of Farley. You've gotten nothing out of Radens. Darrington Evans is nowhere to be found. And there's a lot to point to with John Robinson at the moment if this continues to go bad.
Right, they drafted Isaiah Wilson in the first round, if you didn't mention that. Yeah, I mean, look, it's just Dylan Radens can't even be active on a game like that yesterday. He's not active.
It's ridiculous.
Again, Taylor Lewan, we know. Look, it's nobody's fault that he tore his ACL. Right now, he's not good. Yep. He's not a good offensive lineman. Now, I still would not bet against him figuring it out. And I thought he was fine last week. He was bad yesterday. He's way below his normal level. Okay, so that's one of those faultless things that's bad luck. You've got some guys, again, Saffold and Jones getting older. I mean, they're just getting older, and they're fading maybe. And, and Questenberry has been a nice addition. I still think he's probably about what you were getting from Dennis Kelly last year. But, you know, Jack Conklin obviously was better than that. You have to make choices with money. This is just not a very good offensive line right now. Like, Keith Carter on a weekly basis, what is he going to do? What is he doing to make them struggle like yesterday? What does he do to make that stop? Now, the person who can help is the offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Okay? So you got to figure things out to get these guys in better positions, whatever it is. Move the pocket, quick hitting stuff, whatever. You got to look at the personnel that you're facing, and you got to come up with a plan that makes sense. Yesterday wasn't good enough. But the position coach, again, I'm not saying they're meaningless. They do a job. They work with these guys, you know, closely on their technique, and they talk about the opponents and all that stuff. But like it just doesn't – I don't understand how people take it to that level. It's higher than that. That's where the problems come.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Chad from Chattanooga texting in. I blame Todd Downing. The defense held their own long enough for the Titans to build a lead, but he couldn't figure out how to beat the blitz. If he needs pointers, I'm pretty sure there's a tutorial on Madden that shows how to throw screens to counter blitzes and pass rush. It shouldn't take until after the first half to go to the screen game, especially with how well it worked just last week with Derrick Henry. I mean, I hear that. I also think you can make an argument they went to the screen game too much yesterday.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't remember that it was – I have to look back. Was it a second half adjustment? I thought they ran that little throwback to McNichols with, you know, you're asking Ben Jones to come out, and he did the job for the most part. Yep. For the most part, he got out and got his guy. But they ran that play a lot, and then the Jets absolutely sniffed it out in overtime. Absolutely sniffed it out, blew it up, loss of four.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texter that says, Trey Smith, why are we giving John a pass for not taking Trey Smith? Well, if you want to hammer John Robinson for not taking Trey Smith, hammer every GM in the league because he went in the sixth round. Like, to me, Trey Smith going in the sixth round is laughable. It was laughable at the time, and it's looking a whole lot laughable, a lot more laughable as each week goes by. By the way, impressive response from the Chiefs yesterday. Offense looked pretty good.
Yeah, they'll probably be okay. Yeah, I agree that Trey Smith would be a nice guy to have around. But like you said, I mean, it's just amazing that he went that low. But yeah, look, it's. I mean, I think right now, if you had to say coaching or you know personnel here, I mean, I think it's more an issue of personnel of one the empty drafts, like you said. Bud Dupree not working out so far. I mean, that's just a huge disappointment. He was the most important player going into the season to me, the most important player. It's two straight weeks now. He can't get on the field. I mean, I think there's just so many moves that have not worked out in such a short period of time in this go for it situation with some parts of this team that are so excellent. That's what's, disappointing if they can't figure this out is like you're wasting one, like a guy who's making a push for a Hall of Fame career. And you got another Hall of Famer here. And of course, it's not your fault that he was hurt, but you knew he had a hamstring last year too. I mean, it's all going to get second guessed if some of these guys can't get on the field pretty quickly and help you win football games.
Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. We'll come back. We'll be joined by our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 to break down this disastrous Titans loss to the Jets. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.